Okay, so we have the Perek Nun Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Hakshivi Elai Ami, Umi Elai Hazinu, listen to me. Two very strong expressions of listening. Hakshivu, we know, means to listen carefully. Hazinu also means listen carefully. So listen to me, my nation. Ulu means my nation, Elai Hazinu, poetic repetition. Sarah Meiti say, Torah will come forth from me. And we all know that Torah, we say Torah a million times. Torah literally means instruction. Instruction. It is Hashem's instruction towards us. We think of Torah. I don't know, when you say to an average person, went to yeshiva, Torah, what do they think of? They think of mitzvahs, they think of daf, the black mara, they think of halacha, leaning. They think of every, it's true, but that's not the literal translation of the word. The literal translation is instruction. I'm giving you instructions what to do. And Kisara Me'iti says, it will come forth from me. It will come forth from me, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my instruction, Umishpati, my judgment, Lo'or Amim Argia. Now this is very interesting. My judgment will be a light for the nations, Argia, to give them rest. The world, now, so there are two different, we're addressing two different parts of the world. We're addressing Klal Yisrael, and we are addressing the Umo Sa'olam. With regard to Klal Yisrael, it's Torah, instruction. Let me give you instructions. With regard to the nations of the world, it's Mishpat, which appears that Mishpat generally is like Sur Meirah. There's Sur Meirah Va'aseita. Before you can do things that are positive, you can go, you have to first remove yourself and distance yourself from evil. The nations of the world are agitated. There are always wars. There are always problems. They're not yet at the level where they're ready to go and elevate themselves spiritually by coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, you have to put aside all of the quarrels and remove yourself from injustice and trouble. So by then, it's mishpat, judgment. Judgment was when there's a dispute between two parties. We have to settle the dispute. We're not up to making peace. You have a dispute with a business partner. So you're not going to be dancing with him. But at least the first thing is shouldn't be trying to kill each other. You have to first be mishpat, who's right and who's wrong, and later we'll work on going further and developing the relationship to a relationship of peace. Yeah.
When you say instruction, that implies that it's for Klal Yisrael to perform
go further.
Some action.
Yeah.
But in terms of judgment or judging, Klal Yisrael doesn't act as a judge.
No. That's what I'm saying. That for Klal Yisrael, it's a higher level. The assumption in the pasuk here is that Klal Yisrael is already past the point of mishpat. That's a chiddush because we have all the musar of Mevim where Klal Yisrael is criticized as being full of gazlanim, ganof, and oishek, and they're in great need of mishpat. Correct. But generally speaking, we're dealing with a period of time where Klal Yisrael is clean. They're free from corruption. Halavai. No more corruption. Everything is... Now, Mashiach is here. That's what we're referring here to the Achas Hayamim. Hashem says, now let's go further. Let me give you instructions on how to elevate yourself spiritually and come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu above and beyond just being a parva Jew without any sin of corruption and oshek and all of the like. But with regard to the nations of the world, at this point in time, they are not yet ready for instructions to go higher, to elevate themselves spiritually. They are still in need of cleaning up the garbage, of removing themselves from corruption and wars. So for them, Umishpati, my Mishpat, Lo'or Amin, will serve as a light of the nations, our Gia, I will put upon them to put them in a state of peace, of rest. Our Gia means, it means peace, to be peaceful. And the Pasuk, in the expression, in its entirety, means that through the Mishpat, that I will cast and direct towards them, they will finally find peace among themselves and all wars will come to an end. Then later, hopefully, they will learn from Klal Yisrael how to go further and higher in their service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Hashem is speaking to Klal Yisrael and giving them instructions how to elevate themselves even further. Pasuk Hey, Karov Tzidkasi, Karov Tzidkasi, comma, my righteousness is near, Yotza Yishi. My salvation has already gone forth. Uzroi, and my might, Amim Yishbotu, will judge the nations of the world. Eli Iyim Yikavu, to me, towards me, Iyim means islands, but in this context it means the nations of the world. Yikavu will hope. V'yel Zeroi Yiyachelun, Yiyachelun is very similar to the word Yikavu, means hope, tikva. They will hope for my might. These are very great mysteries. We really do not know what this means. This is referring to Achsa Yamim, but just some of the ideas that are brought out in this pasuk is the difference between tzedek and yesha, salvation and righteousness. In this pasuk, we're in between the yesha, yishi, my salvation has already gone forth, but the tzedek has not yet been achieved. Pasuk is describing a state where you are in the middle. Karov tzidki, the tzidki has, it's near. We're almost at a state of shlemus, but it's not yet. But in the meantime, yotza yishi, the salvation has begun to go forth. And Hashem's might is apparent. It has been expressed. Uzuroi amim yishbotu. Hashem's might will judge the nations, and the nations, when they see Hashem's might, we don't know exactly what this means, they will have hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eli Iyim Yikavu V'yel Zeroiim, to my might, Yiyachelun, they will hope. Okay, Pasuk Vav, Su'u L'Shamayim Eineichem V'yibitu, lift up to heaven your eyes, V'habitu El Ha'aretz Mitochas, and look at the earth below. Now here is a very difficult passage. We'll just translate this, and then we'll discuss it. Ki shamayim ke'osha nimlochu, even if the heavens. Ki seemingly here means even. There are two ways to learn the pasuk. Let's learn one pasuk one way at a time. Even if the heavens will ke'osha nimlochu. The word nimlochu is a very rare word. It doesn't appear very often. It's not clear what it means. The mitzvah here says hashchasa. Nimlochu comes from salt. Salt has the power to corrode, to cause salt as a preservative. Salt gives flavor, but salt is a very powerful. Yeah.
Gofres
melach shreifa kol aretza. Gofres melach sulfur and salt. So salt has a corrosive power; it can destroy. That's how it's been used here in this pasuk. Ki shamayim ke oshan nimlachu. Even if the heavens will be destroyed, be wiped away like smoke. Just like smoke, you light a fire, there's smoke. After 5 minutes, the smoke is gone. It just dissipates and disappears. The heavens will melt, will corrode, and will completely disappear, and the world will go back to a state of tohu vavohu. Even if the shamayim ke'osha nimlochu will just go up in smoke, will disappear like smoke, v'ha'oretz ka'beged tivle, and the earth will wear out, will be worn out like a garment. And the inhabitants of the earth will die. Doesn't matter. Even if this will happen, my salvation will endure forever. And my righteousness will never be broken, will never cease to exist. So if we take the pasuk very simply, it means Hashem is saying that my righteousness, my guarantee, Hashem is the ultimate insurer, better than the FDIC. Even if the world comes to an end and the heavens are destroyed, the earth is destroyed, it sounds like a nuclear war, the whole world comes to an end, it doesn't matter, I am good for my word. If a person does a mitzvah, he does tzedek, he does good things, I reward him, and he's guaranteed to receive his due. Now what does that mean? If the world has been destroyed, where will a person receive his due? So what does that mean exactly? It means an olam haba, olam ha'emes. Maybe it's not. It's so. There are different interpretations. So one, some. I think. I'm not saying Ibn Ezra learns this pasuk is one of the few pasukim in Tanakh which states clearly the idea that the neshama outlasts the guf. And in this context, we're dealing with the world. The world represents the larger guf, the guf, the human beings, the body, but not just the body of one man, the body of the entire world, the guf of ha'olam. And then there's the neshama. the neshama is not dependent on the guf. After the neshama leaves, the neshama is still there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees reward to that neshama in a different world, in Olam HaEmes, whatever that means. And according to that interpretation, I have to go take a step back. When it says ki, it doesn't mean even. Ki means, it's a statement. When? Right, it's a statement. When? Ki shamayim ke'oshanim lachu. When? Okay, I'm not exactly, but it's a statement. Even when the heavens, will be destroyed and will disappear like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and the people on the earth will die, there'll be no one left in this world. Doesn't matter. Hashem's salvation will remain for the neshama in the Olam HaEmes. It's teaching us about the Hasharas HaNeshama. All the Mepharshim say, no, that's not necessarily what it means. It's true. No one's doubting the fact that the neshama exists after the body. That's exactly, that's certainly correct. But it's just an expression. Yeshai is very poetic. He's very poetic, and he's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate insurer. He is the one that insures the FDIC. He guarantees that, don't worry, no matter what happens in this world, no matter how bad you think it is, and how distant you think Hashem is, and no matter how intense the Hester Panim is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that He will reward Tzadikim for their good deeds and punish the Rishon for their evil deeds. And it's an expression. It's not to be taken literally. That's a different approach. Ki Shemayim Ki Asher, it's not going to happen because if the world's going to be destroyed, then we are going to receive reward. The goal is there will be Tchias HaMesim. We don't know what these things mean, obviously. There will be at some point in time Tchias HaMesim. We will come back to this world, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will reward the Tzadikim for their good deeds, and the Shem for will be punished, or whatever that means. So it means, but it says that the world will be destroyed. It doesn't mean literally. It's an extreme expression. Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to mean destroyed. Everything that Hashem created is, every physical thing that Hashem created has a finite lifespan, and therefore even the heavens and the earth, yeah, are the foundations of creation. Even they will not necessarily be destroyed, but disintegrate.
At some point in time. Okay, so it's a very fascinating passage to remember because it. It talks about the very end. It makes it very clear that there is something called the heavens disintegrating into smoke and the earth wearing out a garment and the people dying. And yet Hashem says, do not worry, Yeshuasi li'olam tiyeh v'tzikasti lo seichas. Pasuk Zayin. Shimu elai yodei tzedek. Now Hashem is addressing Klal Yisrael. Listen to me, you people, those who know tzedek. Seemingly we're referring over here to Klal Yisrael. Am toiros si b'vilibam nation, in whom my Torah is in their heart. It's a beautiful expression. My instruction is within them. They have taken to heart my instruction. Al tiru cherpas enosh. Do not be afraid of the disgrace of men. Umi gi du fo sam, and from their insults. Al techasu, do not be broken. Be strong. Don't be afraid of the harassment that you receive in this world from the nations of the world that ridicule you and disgrace you for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's been the story of Klal Yisrael throughout the ages. Because the end will be, they will come to an end. The nations of the world that torment you and destroy you, they will come to an end. Like a garment that an osh, moth, eats. V'chatzemer yechleim sos. Sos is the moth that eats wool. There are different types of garments. Each type of garment attracts different types of insects, different types of rodents that destroy the garment. The sos is the name of a little creature, something like a moth that eats only wool. And osh is a type of a creature which eats other types of garments. I guess I assume it's linen or garments other than wool. The tzidkasid. So these nations will come to an end. My righteousness will be forever, Vishwa Sila Dar Darim, and my salvation will last for all generations. Pasuk Tes. Uri Uri Liv Shios, wake up. Wear, dress yourself in might. Strengthen yourself, Zeroya Hashem. What strength? The strength, the might of the arm of Hashem, the strength of Hashem. Uri Kime. Now here Yeshaya is being misspelled. I think it's back over here. The one that's speaking over here is Yeshaya. Hashem is not speaking. Yeshaya here is offering a prayer. It's very different than most of the things that we learn in Yeshaya. It's where Yeshaya is relaying the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. Here Yeshaya is begging Hashem to bring the geula immediately. Uri, Uri, wake up. Hashem, arouse yourself. Liv Shios, dress yourself, Hashem, dress yourself in might. Zeroya Hashem, the might of you, Hashem. Uri, awaken yourself, arouse yourself, Kimei Kedem, like you've done in Egypt. Just like you destroyed Paro and Mitzrayim, the days of yore, Doiros Olamim, the generations of the years from time immemorial, Haloi Athi, you, it is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, At here means you, HaMachatzeves, even though At is here, Lashon of the Keva, but that's part of the expression, the poetic expression, Haloi Athi, HaMachatzeves, Rahav, you're the one that quarries the arrogant. We have in Yeshayahu, Rahav refers in many places in Tanakh specifically to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is called arrogant. Rahav, we had in Perek Lamed, that Karasi Lazos, Rabbi called them arrogant. Michaleles Tanin, the one that terrified. Lashon of Chel, birth pangs. Tanin, the serpent. Paro is the serpent of Egypt. The nation itself is called Rahav, arrogant. And Paro is called the Tanin. He called himself the Tanin. Why the Tanin? Because Mitzrayim lives on the Yaar. They live along the Nile. They gain their sustenance from the Nile. And in the Nile, there are crocodiles. And the crocodiles, the Tanin, somehow is associated with the master, the chief crocodile. We think, I once heard a shear from the person who runs the museum in Bar Park, the Living Torah Museum, and he has a thesis, it's not very simple, not so simple, that the Tsardeya is not a frog. The Tsardeya is a crocodile. Now, if you know anything about crocodiles, that totally changes everything. It's one thing if you wake up in the middle of the night and there are frogs in your bed. That's one thing. If you wake up in the middle of the night and there are crocodiles in your bed, it's a whole different story.
The guy who wrote that new sefer on Purim with all the archaeology.
Yes.
So I heard him give a lecture, and he said that the snake that Moshe turned the staff into the snake. It says Tanin.
Yeah, Tanin Hagadol.
That was
a crocodile. Crocodile. So then it fits. There are different. There are different types of crocodiles. The Tsardeya is, I guess, the little crocodiles, and the Tanin is the mother crocodile. That's what it is, because there is a relation. Tanin, they do say that. That's, I think that's more accepted. The Tanin refers to a crocodile.
Also in the Nile, there
crocodiles.
There's also a snake called an asp. Cleopatra killed herself with the asp, and they have that snake on
around her neck, around her
head gear. It could be that it was the asp.
Okay. So there's a different interpretation, but power. But these types of creatures are related. The Tanin lives in the Nile. I don't know if you'll find the Tanin in America. You'll find it in the Hudson. Not likely you'll find the Tanin because it requires a certain type of environment. And the environment for the Tanin is only can be found in a land like Egypt, desert type of land that has swamps. You're not going to find that in
Florida.
A land that is similar, has a similar environment to Egypt. It's not something that we in New York... We live over here in Brooklyn, are going to see maybe in a zoo, but not a... So that's why Paro is called the Tanin. It relates specifically to Egypt. Pasuk Yud. Haloi Atzo. You hear Yishai is begging Hashem. Is it not you, Hashem? Hamachareves Yom. You the one that dried up the sea. This refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. Mei Tehom Rabba. The waters of the great depth. It's a very interesting expression that Yishai here is saying Tehom Rabba, because what do we find that expression? We find that by the Mabel. We find Vayiftach Hashem. This expression was found by the Mabul. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the Mabul. He opened up the Tehoim. I think the same with the Rabba. This expression appears here. Okay, I'll take it back. I'm not sure. I have to look it up later on.
There's another book. Yeah. Tehom Rabba.
Your depths, Tehom Rabba, the great depths. Okay. So May Tehom Rabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you went. You opened up the great depths. Ha Soma. You destroyed. Soma means desolation. You made the great depths of the sea desolate. Derech, why did you do so? Derech la'avar gulim, in order to make it as a road for the gulim, for Klal for your nation to pass through. So he's begging the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you've done it. We know you can do it. You've done it in the past for Klal Yisrael. So uri, arouse yourself. Bring the geula bring an end to the galus. In this pasuk, there are three expressions. I don't know the significance, but there's number one, hamacharef es yom, drawing of the sea. Number two is the three expressions, the yom, the mei tohim rabba, and the mamake yom. Three different ways to refer to the yam. Just the yam stam, it's called the mei tohim rabba, that's two. Number three is ma'amake yom, the depths of the sea. Three different expressions, and all three of these expressions are HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely dried up in order to make a path for Klai Yisrael to return to leave Mitzrayim and come to Eretz Yisrael. Ufidu, this is a famous pasuk.
The use of the Nekeva here?
Why are we using HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nekeva? Halei Ati HaMachareves. I do not know the answer. Why we use Losh Nekeva? Let's quickly, maybe I missed something in the Rashi. In pasuk Yud, no. Let's see, the Mitzudas, he says something over here. No, he does not say anything. Why are we using here Lashon Nekeva? It's a poetic expression. I don't know. We have in the Haggadah, At Psachlo. See, it's not always used, Gesundheit, the She'en Yedeh Lishol, At Psachlo. So who is, this Jewish, At Psachlo means the mother, you have to be very delicate. You have to, the one, the child that's very, doesn't know how to ask, you have to be the mother, soft. But the simple reading, the simple translation is you, the father. But how? Why does it say Lashon Nekeva, not Lashon Zohar? It's a poetic expression. The Paitonim and even the Nevi'im, they had some poetic license to...
Paitonic license.
What?
I call it Paitonic license.
What does that mean?
A Paiton.
Yeah, a Paiton, a Paiton. A Paiton license. Okay, very cute. But I don't know the answer. Obviously, there must be some significance in why it says here, Halayati hamachatzeves rav nicholalas tana. Maybe what it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he went and he destroyed himself in a very delicate way, like a woman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he went to destroy, he didn't just destroy them in one shot, he gave them a chance. He sent Moshe, he gave them 10 nisyonos, and he told them, listen, let my people go. If you don't want to let my people go, then I'm going to destroy you. So Paro had 10 chances. He had many chances. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was delicate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not try to harm, does not, it's an expression of the Gemara, doesn't try to bring a person into a situation that's not for his, not in his, against his will. And perhaps that's a drush of why it says, Ah, Hashem had racham and did in a very delicate stage.
Don't you have in the Torah, there's a pasuk that refers to Moshe Rabbeinu in feminine, and they say he became chalash or something like that?
Became weak. Yeah, it's a drush. In Echanami, that's all part of We use the word in different expressions to bring out a message. Correct. So I guess the same thing you have over there, you have over here as well. Because Baruch Hu here is being described, even though he's mighty, he destroyed the Yam, and he destroyed the Egyptians, he did it in a delicate way. He gave them a chance. Pasik Yud Aleph Ufiduye Hashem Yeshuvun. This is a very famous pasik. Those that have been redeemed by Hashem will return. We are called, we have been redeemed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has redeemed us from Egypt. We will return Yeshuvun in the future tense. They will return. Uvahu Tzion Berina. They will come to Tzion with song. V'simchas Olam, an everlasting joy. The joy of the Geula will be forever. Unlike the previous exiles, the joy that we had was only temporary. When we left Mitzrayim, was not forever. It was only a temporary simcha until the time came when we had a lot of problems in Eretz Yisrael. And likewise, the Gula, the second Bais, was not Shalem. It only lasted 420 years, and it was under the authority of Yavon and Edom during the last 103 years. So it was never a complete, it was not an everlasting simcha, but with the future simcha will be with simcha Shalem al Reisham, will be upon their heads. Sasan the simcha yasigun will overtake them. They overtake with sasan the simcha. Nasu will flee, will depart. Yogan vanacha, different forms of pain. Yogan vanacha, two different types of suffering. Which I guess we could make a drush that yogan vanacha corresponds to sasan the simcha. There's a lot of discussion about what exactly is sasan the simcha, but very rarely do you have Yogon, the difference between Yogon Vanacha, Yogon Vanacha, two different words which seemingly mean the same thing, just like Sasan the Simcha in the positive sense means joy, Yogon Vanacha means pain and suffering. Now, what is the difference between Sasan and Simcha? We had that yesterday, that was the last pasuk we had yesterday, Sasan and Simcha, so there are many, many interpretations. One interpretation is Sasan is a sudden joy. Sas Anochi al Imrasecha Kimotse Shalol Rav. You did not earn this. You did not. You just all of a sudden you won the lottery. You won the lottery. All of a sudden you woke up. You had no expectation to be to to find this treasure. That's called sasan. Again, like sas anochi al imra secha kimoitzei shalal. A person finds. You find on the street. I didn't expect this. Wonderful. Now I have one less taiga. I'm able to pay off one chayif. I have something. That's sasan. Simcha is a joy that you earn. You work hard. You work very hard. And you earn. That is a very different type of joy. That joy, in a certain sense, is much greater. Person has true satisfaction from something which he earns. And it's over a period of time. So that's one interpretation. That's why we have Simchas Torah. Why is it Simchas Torah? And it's not the sussing, the sus of Torah. Because Simchas Torah is when we conclude the Torah. It's the end. We've earned the joy. You've gone through an entire cycle from Bereshis to the Zos HaBracha. You've accomplished the joy of accomplishment. Shavuos is the day of Sasan. We have received the Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah. Do we deserve it? Not really. Okay, the Avos deserve it. Chosavos and so on and so forth. Nasev and Ishma. We earned the Kabbalah, but we really did not know what we got ourselves into. We're very happy. We have the Torah. But we didn't accomplish, we did not achieve anything. That is called sasa. Okay, there are other interpretations, but according, let's work with that interpretation. If you take that approach to be correct, sasa is sudden joy, simcha is joy that has been earned. Now we can understand yagon v'anacha. Yagon would correspond to sasa, which would mean a tsara that comes out of the blue. Right? It's a wonderful day, and all of a sudden, you get a flat tire. I didn't expect this. I didn't expect this. Now my whole day is ruined. Now the car doesn't work and I have to go to the mechanic and have to wait and it takes 2 hours for them to do something to fix it. And then I have to reschedule everything. It is a sudden disappointment. Anocha is a prolonged, it's something which is going on for a long time. And it's like it just keeps on going to the end. Now, finally, is the end of this. So it's a sustained, continuous tsara. Corresponding to Simcha. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it's going to give us Sasan the Simcha Yasigun, will overtake them, and Nasu Yagon V'Anacha, and it will flee, it will run away, the corresponding expressions of Yagon V'Anacha.
Yeah. This expression appears in Vein Olam Haba.
Yeah. Same expression.
It's taken from here.
Taken from here. That's where you reading from.
What?
Where is that? Where you reading from?
Oh, Zmir.
So yeah, of course, yeah. So this is not, it's not the only place. Here we have it here. We have it before. We have it also in the beginning of Yeshaya. Okay, Pasuk, just a little bit of the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yudbeis. Anoch Yenoch Yehu Menachemchem. Now Yeshaya continues and it says, it is I that will give you Nechama. These are, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the double expression. Double expression of this is the beginning of the Haftarah. Which Haftarah is this? Parashas Re'eh is one of the Nechama. These are all of them. So, but each one, so that thing is Parashas Re'eh.
No, Parashas
Shoftim. Anochi. So here's where that after begins. Anochi, Anochi, who Menachem. Chem, it is I who will give you comfort. Is the same. The reason why it says here in the double expression is don't, it's the same one that brought upon you the Tsar. For your benefit, it is I now that is going to give you Nechama. It's only this is the theme which Yeshaya says many times. I don't think that there is a God for good and a God for evil. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. Yoitzer Or Uvare Choshech. This was a belief in the time of the Persians. There is a God for good. All good comes from one God. All evil comes from another God. That is Kfir Apikorsis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything. All depends on our merits. Anochi hu menachemchem, it is I who will give you comfort. Mi at v'tiri. Now here at is appropriate. Here the Mepharshim do explain the word at is appropriate because referring it to Klal Yisrael. In the previous psukim that we discussed, Yishai was begging Hashem, please Hashem, redeem us. Redeem us with oso sumovsim, just like you've done oso sumovsim in the time of Mitzrayim. So there the word at in the feminine form was referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we explained that we said that it refers to Hashem's delicacy. Here, Hashem is speaking to us. and he's saying, you, my nation. And Klal Yisrael was always, many times, called Bas Tzion. It's called, it was referred to in the feminine form. That is very common. Anochi, anochi, menachemchem, mi'at v'atiri. Why should you be afraid? Who among you should be afraid? There's nothing to fear. V'atiri, I'll read the whole passage, I'll read them to this. V'atiri me enosh yamus. Why would you be afraid of man that will die? Umi ben Adam chatsir yinosein, and man will be given over to the grass. Given over to the grass is a very delicate expression of death. That's a pretty scary expression. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs, how we interpret this pasuk. Let's read mi'at and pasuk yud beis in the mitzvahs. Let's see the pasuk yud beis in the mitzvahs. Mi'at rotz loymar bas tzadikim kamoscha. Umaleya zuchuyos, you, my nation, are full of merits. Lo matiri me'enosh. Why are you afraid of man? Man is nothing. There's nothing to be afraid of. He's going to die. Asher soifai lamos, his end is death. Chatzir yinasein, asher hunasein be'olam ki chatzir hazeh. He's a person's compared to this. He doesn't say refer to death. He says a person's compared to grass. Asher yimol v'yovesh, grass withers and decays and disappears. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Do not fear man. The only one you should fear is to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is how I will bring the Geul. Okay, so we'll stop here with Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, let's do Mishnah Berurah. I need to borrow someone's Mishnah Berurah. Let's see if I know Mishnah Berurah. Is yours? Okay, thank you very much. We're up to middle of Hilchos Tchumin. What's the smell that? Okay, we are in the middle of wait a minute, I'm confused. Shin Sadi Zion. Okay, we just started yesterday a little. We did Aleph. Okay, so let's start from, let us run through Aleph very quickly again.